Hey everyone, I'm Dahlia.
I'm Alma, and this is Nightmare on Fifth Street, a horror movie podcast.
Did you hear of the Nightmare on Fifth
Alma, who joined you today? Because I hear a little kitty cat in the background. So who's that? Tell me.
It's one of them. I don't know which one. So I can't really tell which one it is.
You don't know the sound of your own babies and you call yourself a camp mom. No, I'm just kidding.
It's because they're outside the door. Like, why is the door?
Well, who's out there then?
It's probably Gato.
Gato? Aww.
Yeah. He's like, why can't I come in?
Does he ever hang out in your room?
Yeah, sometimes I just let him if one of the cats is in. They have to stay away from each other, two of them, remember?
Yes, and I don't remember which ones. That's why.
It's Kodak and Gato.
Oh, okay. The fight to the death. To the death. Oh, my God. Okay, speaking of fighting to the death, today, what movie are we discussing, Alma?
We are discussing Us.
Us me
from
and you?
2019. Yeah, me and you. We're just gonna
talk about us. I like that, actually. That's funny. So here's the thing, y'all. This is season 4, Women of Horror. We get it. Everybody's talked about this movie. Everybody who's a great critic, everybody who has wonderful ideas has been able to talk about this movie eloquently. See, I can't even say the word. I can't even say the word eloquently. Mm-hmm. So we are just going to talk about the kick-ass women in this movie. And so let's just get right to it. Alma, tell us about this movie. Who's in it? All that good stuff.
All right. So obviously this movie is written, directed by Jordan Peele, where lead actor is Lupita Nyong'o as Adelaide. And Winston Duke is Gabe. Shahari Wright, Joseph as Zora. Evan Alex as Jason Wilson. Elizabeth Moss as Kitty. Tim Heidecker as Josh Tyler, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II as Russell Thomas, and Anna Diop as Rain Thomas.
Okay.
Or is it Ryan?
Oh, shoot. Did I see that? I don't know. I'm horrible Rain. With names to begin with. I don't even remember people's names. So that's why I usually ask you, who's in this movie? So this is the little description, like if y'all don't already know. A family's serene beach vacation turns to chaos when their doppelgangers appear and begin to terrorize them. Speaking of beach vacation, I recently wrote a little listicle for our horror movie blog. So you can head over there, horrormovieblog.com, and look. And I made a 5 movies where vacations gone wrong. This, of course, made the cut because what's going on here? She doesn't want to go on this vacation. Does she? Adelaide does not want to go on this vacation because some shit happened to her when she was little. She's traumatized. She's all like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to the beach. Her hubby convinces her to go. And then shit hits the fan. So I like to wonder, so what if they didn't go to the beach? Huh? Would Red have had anything to do? Would she? I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm just throwing it out there. Okay. So anyways, What do you think? Would anything have happened? Do you think the plan would have still gone on?
Oh, I think so. I think, of course, it would. I think it just would have taken a little bit longer. I like the way that it starts off because we know that it's going to be bad. We know that it's going to be a bad time. But it's the anxiety kind of getting to me because I didn't know what to expect. And I love that about me. I love that about me, everyone, because I didn't have this movie spoiled. I didn't have any, anybody taking me off as to what
was this the first time you watched it for this episode?
No.
Okay, I got a little excited. I got a little excited there for you.
Everybody, I'm putting everybody in my chair, you know, okay. I'm putting everybody in my chair at the theater, you know? So I was lucky enough to not know anything about it. So all that anxiety was building up in me, and all the questions I had asked were thinking if anything changed, it would have just led to a longer situation. Obviously, because she came home, that's much better. But if she didn't go home or they left earlier, they would have caught up. They would have caught up. So,
all right, if you say so. Like, I don't know. I don't think it would have happened. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. She's going to keep planning. She's going to keep planning until their time expires. And that's it. That's all there is to it.
Oh, I think she would have just said, like, okay, everybody, chill. We're going to do this again next year when they try to come on vacation. I was going to try to do the deep voice, but I can't do it.
No. I can't even, like,
try that next year.
Okay, you need to stop. Red has a very distinct voice, and it's because, you know, we end up finding out later. We'll get to it. Because spoiler alert, usually we don't talk about movies that are this recent. Normally, we don't talk about movies that are this recent. But we are, so that means tons of spoilers. So if you haven't seen this movie and you continue to listen and it gets spoiled for you, I'm sorry, but we warned you. But yeah, so let's just get right into it. Okay, so we have Adelaide, who goes to the beach when she's little, gets scared by her doppelganger. Alma, do you have a doppelganger that you know of? Have you ever seen anyone that looked anywhere remotely like you?
No. But if I did have one, I think I'd be the doppelganger. I think that I would be the evil. I'm going to make myself evil. I would be like, there's like a much nicer version of me. And I'm pretty nice. Like, I think I'm pretty nice.
You are. But I think you are. So you think, see, I think of, okay, so in this movie, the doppelgangers, the tethered, I mean, they never say doppelganger, they're the tethered, but they're like doppelgangers.
Yeah,
they're doppelgangers, basically. Mm-hmm. And you hear a lot about how they're evil or whatever like that. But I have this here. Let me pull it up really quick. Hopefully, you're going to hear clicking because I'm clicking around. Okay, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a doppelganger is a double, an alter ego. A person who has the same name as another. That's a weird one, right? A ghostly counterpart of a living person. That's more like this one, I think, right? According to German folklore, all living creatures have a spirit double who is invisible but identical to the living individual. These second selves are perceived as being distinct from ghosts, which only appear after death. And sometimes they are described as the spiritual opposite or negative of their human counterparts. So not necessarily evil, but it does say, it does go on to say, instead of just opposite, a negative. But a negative could just be an opposite of their human counterparts. German writers coined the word doppelganger to refer to specters. And the first known use of the word doppelganger was in 1851. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So these are essentially doppelgangers. They're living in a world.
That's why I would be the doppelganger, because I'm sabotaging stuff all the time for myself. Like, I'm always doing the opposite of what I should be doing. And, you know, I'm just setting myself up so that there's out there somewhere, there's like an Alma who's doing everything right, who's been up since 6, getting shit done, not sitting in bed watching TikTok videos for 2.5 hours before rolling out of bed. So that is why I'm that double.
That is hilarious. I like that. Well, when I was in high school or junior high, I can't remember, there was another girl who looked a lot like me, apparently, even though I didn't see it. I didn't think we looked alike, but we looked enough alike that people would call her by my name and me by her name. And then at the last hospital I worked at, there was another nurse there. They used to call us by each other's names. And it really pissed me off, actually, because again, I don't think we look anything alike. And they would call her specifically, I guess I won't say in case they listen. I doubt they do, but just in case. Specifically, one person would always call us by each other's name. And luckily, it pissed her off too, because, you know, one time she came over to me and it's just like, I was just like, I think it's racist. Is this racist? We're nothing alike. But anyway.
Definitely racist.
But anyway, so I have met people who supposedly look like me. I don't see it. Maybe I'm too close to it. But maybe I have encountered my doppelgangers. And FYI, they have been loads more. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but they're definitely further along in their...
More productive.
Would you say?
I don't know, Dali. You get a lot of shit done. You're always like a mover and a shaker.
I'm a mover and a shaker, a shaker and a mover.
Yes, you get shit done. You're just one of those people. In this movie, what's interesting is that it leaves us with the question, because for me, it didn't leave me with the question, because I love to make everything a little bit more sinister, even more darker than it already is. But I'm like, these are the doppelgangers, you know, these are the doppelgangers out here in the world, because if you think about it, if you had any inkling that there was like a someone else like living a shitty life, but was you, wouldn't you want to help them? So why are we not caring about
okay,
them?
Okay, so we're saying, so wouldn't you want to help them? So you're saying, of course, I'm going to keep going on the train until we reveal the ending here in a little bit. But so what you're saying is Adelaide deserved Red trying to take over the...
Yes, yes, that was totally... She brought about the end of what was... life for everybody.
Adelaide should have done everything as soon as she discovered there was another her to make sure.
Yes.
That
see, we're gonna say it in a minute.
Yeah,
but
I know.
It's gonna tie around at the end. It's exactly the question that's up.
Yeah.
The reason that she doesn't want to go is because she feels something in her. But that doesn't stop her from continuing to live her life.
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped her from making a family.
Okay.
It hasn't stopped her from having a career.
Okay.
It hasn't stopped her from being happy. But being near the ocean reminds her of it, which gives her a little sick feeling in the pit of her stomach.
Okay.
And that's why she doesn't want to go back. I don't think she was expecting that anybody was going to come and get her.
Right.
It's just that it's a physical reminder of what she has done, and she doesn't care.
Okay.
she doesn't care.
So she got what she deserved. Got it. Okay, so let's just go ahead and say what happens in the end, because it is gonna inform the way we talk about it now. So at the end of the movie, it's revealed that Adelaide, the original Adelaide, little girl, when she went to the carnival, the fun house, whatever. She goes in there and she meets her doppelganger, her tethered self. Adelaide Red is the little girl that lives underground. Red actually ends up taking Adelaide down to the underground, and we have a switcheroo going on here. So now the original Adelaide is living a life of the tethered, of that doppelganger underground. Red goes back up into the world where you can see the sun. So Red now becomes Adelaide. But let's start. Okay, so Red, you think that Red, as Adelaide, forgot that she was Red? Is that what you're trying to say earlier?
No. See, okay. It's because I hadn't said that she was
right. Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Okay,
now it makes sense.
Okay,
see, now it makes sense. So Red, fake Adelaide, gets everything that's coming to her. She needs her world to come down. It needed to crumble for her. The big question that the real Adelaide had was like, we could have gone out together, like we could have. You could have seen me and decided, can I come with you? And we could have gone together. But she didn't do that. She went as far as to choke her, right? And then did she choke her?
I don't know. I can't remember.
I can't remember.
It's been a bit since
Why
I watched
I not
it.
Remember?
But here's the thing.
Because that's how she lost her voice.
No. See, I thought differently. Okay, so that's funny. Why don't you look that up real quick? And I'll tell you why I thought her voice sounded like that. I thought her voice sounded like that because down in the tethered world underground, they don't talk. So they don't use, well, at least they don't use our language. They don't talk the way we do. So my assumption was that the reason she sounded like that is because she isn't using her voice like she did up here in this world. So it was, her voice was raw from like trying to figure out how to speak these English words again versus the language that she spoke, the tethered language. That's why I thought her voice sounded like that.
Yeah, it is a good theory, but I was right. She did get choked unconscious, and that's what crushed her larynx. And then she had to learn to use her
voice.
That's
hilarious. So she had to. I really just thought it's because she couldn't use her voice down there. That, I don't know. I like my version better. That's scientifically correct. That's boring. Boo.
Even I forgot about that. I thought she was using it because she forgot to, you know, she didn't remember how to use your voice. And none of them are really using their voice down
there.
They're
just using
none of them are really
random screams and noises to communicate.
And that, like, originally when we see peeks into the underground world, that is so, it's so scary and sad. Every time they show any of it, like they're walking around and they showed like the boardwalk when Addie as a child was walking through the boardwalk and just holding her, you know, with her dad, and she gets the shirt, everything. And they're showing the alternate underground. And it's not an alternate reality because it's there, right? So they're showing every bit that everybody's doing. And it's almost like a zombie world. Yeah. Where they just have that feeling that they have something that they need to do. Like, and so they're just mimicking what they used to do in real life. And each step of it, the more you think about it, the sadder it is that they're making children, that this person they're with isn't somebody that they chose, but somebody that they were forced to be with. So I think of it such a sad, sad movie. Like, it's just depressing. It's depressing and sad. But real Addie who gets stuck is the one that she brings everybody down there together to do this huge, huge plan. And I love it. I love that she did that because it could have been different. And it was all, you know, and that's why maybe this doppelganger is evil, because fake Addie.
Yeah.
She's evil.
Yeah.
She's evil.
Okay. So that's what kind of becomes very interesting, because nurture versus nature type thing. We have Adelaide that was born in this world up here. When she goes down underground and becomes one of the tethered, she then, I wouldn't say evil. I don't want to say evil. I want to say she just wants her fucking life back, and she's trapped. She's trapped down there. I know they're in the, you know, making plans to kill people and all that. But all she sees is that fake Adelaide, Red, took her life and damned be everyone else. She doesn't care anymore because she just really wants to stick it to the new Adelaide. I don't know. It gets confusing because you have to remember that they aren't Red and Adelaide anymore. They're each other.
But see, this is what's also sad. She's not seeing her alter self, herself living a life that she could have lived. She's seeing her live a life that she wants to live, and she's forced to mimic. Because if the real Adelaide had been in the real world, because it's brought up about her being with Gabe and making the children, it didn't seem like that's something that she would have. She didn't choose that person. She didn't choose her children, but she's going to love her family. She's going to love her family, but she's watching this person not just steal her life, but make a new one where she didn't have the freedom to do that. You know? So see, it's like,
it's so interesting when you get into the nitty gritty of it. I did want to say real quick that Lupita based Red's voice on Robert F. Kennedy. I didn't know this about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And specifically the spasmodic dysphonia that he suffers from. I didn't know that he suffered from spasmodic dysphonia. So real quick, just so that I can give a definition for, I mean, obviously we're hearing it, so we know what it's like, but It's the muscles of, it's a neurologic disorder that can affect the voice and speech. It's a lifelong condition that causes the muscles that generate a person's voice to go into periods of spasm. So that sounded like it hurt. I'm just saying, because you were doing that voice earlier, whenever I do the little,
Hi, I'm Dahlia.
Oh my God, I'm going to start coughing now because see, I scratched my throat when I did that. It's just like, that hurts. I don't know how the hell she could have kept that going throughout the whole fucking movie.
Yeah, it's like when you're a kid, you can shout and scream and your voice doesn't get tired. But I remember going to concerts and thinking each concert that I went to, I was like, I need to tone it down because I would like to speak tomorrow. And so each time, and then it eventually is like the last concert I went to, I was just kind of mimicking that. Because I didn't want to lose
I know, it's so difficult to like, don't scream, just open your mouth and like, yeah. Okay, so we know that this is a very famous boardwalk. It's used in other movies.
Mm-hmm.
Name one movie, Alma. I know you know off the top of your head that this... that you,
The Lost
exactly,
Boys.
Exactly, Lost Boys. But the filmmakers didn't need to do much work on this boardwalk, as many games and rides are originals going back as far as the 1910s. Oh my God. There is no Hall of Mirrors, though, on the beach. So that's the difference. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, obviously there's other differences. But speaking of like that scene when you were talking about the when the little girl, little Adelaide, is walking through with her dad and everything, and then you see their counterparts, the tethered underground, doing the same things. You're right. It's so much creepier. It's so zombie-like. It's like they're just going through the motions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just so like they could have done the entire movie of just the tethered. With no talking, no context, and it would have been one of the scariest movies ever. That shit was beyond creepy.
Especially the thought of the rabbits. Now, I know you probably got that whole vibe from the Alice in Wonderland type thing. Rabbits were a, like, fine cuisine, would you call it that? Something that the rich ate and stuff like that. So it was interesting that that was the only source of food that they had down there. And they don't really show it, but they, you know, you get a glimpse of them kind of in a cafeteria where they have rabbits and then they start to eat. And that part also made it even more disturbing because it's just like one food source. And just every time that other person eats, you gotta
eat for the fucking, it's horrible. I don't even want to talk about it because it's that horrible.
Oh, well, I'll bring up that real quick because Lupita had to work with, because we're talking about her voice. So that way we don't have to think about the eating or anything like that. Lupita had to work with an ENT specialist. That's an ear, nose, and throat specialist, a vocal therapist, and a dialect coach so that she wouldn't, this was done mostly out of fear because Lupita didn't want to damage
her
voice.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So, and so it was like super creepy voice. And let's just make sure I don't want to end up talking like this for life. And then she would get typecast and then she'd have to play scary creepers on the phone.
Oh, there you go. Exactly. She wouldn't have to use that little thing.
That's her, but she was like, it's just I want a pizza. It's such a
delicate. Okay, so I said we would talk about the women of this film, and I know there are some great actors, male actors in this as well, but I always forget her name, but the actress who plays the wife of their friend, I like
Kitty Tyler. That's Elizabeth Moss.
Moss. I like her a lot. And I like the character she plays in this because she's kind of a little she's a little bit different than I'm used to seeing her. She, you know, she's talking about her plastic surgery and you can barely see it and stuff like that. And then I don't know, it's just like a I like seeing like this difference between these two women that are in this movie and their friends. But it's like you kind of sit there and you're wondering, like, who was friends first? Her, these two women, or, but you know, it's the husbands. But like, it's like, is this a friendship by a marriage? Or do you think they would have been friends outside of this? And not saying that two very different people couldn't be friends, but there was you could see that there's a connection between them, but there's a part where it just looks like Adelaide is like very disconnected from her. And this is before she sees like her son disappear. She just like, doesn't seem to care.
On the beach,
she doesn't really seem to care.
This is the part that's interesting because she's going through the motions here. It's almost like she sees in that moment, you know, I'm reading a lot into it, but it's like she's forced to have this friend because of association. And even though there's nothing wrong with the friend or anything like that, and she probably does have a good time with her sometimes, it's like in this situation, she doesn't want to be doing that. And I think that's what makes more of the comfort level of fake Adelaide kind of, it's disappearing, because being there, she's forced to do things that she doesn't want to do. And that reminds her of being a child doing things that she didn't want to do either. But I can see that you know, she probably has a good time with her sometimes. And, you know, you can bond with people and hang out. And I thought it was very nice if her friend Kitty can tell that she's distracted and just keeps trying to, like, help her have a good time and everything.
Yeah, I like that. I like the way you said that. She is. She is trying to get her to relax or, like you said, have a good time. Maybe not be so in her thoughts. Maybe she knows that Adelaide is a person that tends to retreat into her own thoughts and is trying to draw her out. Maybe that is it. You're right. I have to admit that I tend to do that too. I tend to just kind of go into my own brain and sit there and just, I become that creepy voyeur that seems to be like they're watching everybody, but in reality, it's just because I'm like, I'm in my own head. And sometimes I have to have somebody come and remind me like, hey, darling, let's go have fun, whatever. Although, if I'm at the beach, though, I do tend to kind of zone out because I fucking love just sitting there at the beach, looking out at the water, getting in. I rarely, I think, am one of those people that is like sitting there with like a good book, you know, or something like that, or listening to the music.
Just use the time.
I love to just look out and enjoy everything that's going on around me because I fucking love the beach. And, so by the time you all have listened to this episode, I will already have come back from our little vacation where we're going to be going to the beach. And I'm really excited about that. So I just wanted to throw that out there because I'm so looking forward to I visited Alma for New Year's, and I was only there for a couple of days. It didn't seem long enough. I didn't really get to do anything.
It wasn't.
No. It wasn't. Mm-hmm. But I really, really, really wanted to go to the beach while I was there, and it just didn't really work out. But I wanted to do that. I wanted to go out on a jet ski or something. Cause now I want to go into this movie and be a part of it, but not really, because then I would have gotten killed by my doppelganger. But
I don't like the beach. I don't like it. I don't like the sand. I don't like the water. Dalia knows that. Okay. So I want to discuss the protectiveness of fake Adelaide. I love that we're calling her fake Adelaide. Okay. Because at the beach, you know, mm-hmm. you just mentioned that she went before her, she lost her son temporarily.
Yeah.
He did walk off too far and he had no business doing that because there are strangers everywhere, dude. But
True. The
reason she's more protective of him is because she stole somebody's life. There's somewhere where she did that. And now the son has walked off and she's scared because that's the whole reason she's even more protective because of what she did. And it was like to everybody outside, we could just be thinking, oh, that's just a protective mom.
Yeah.
And that's great. But she has more in it. She has more at stake.
So
I love that.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I love that they took the time to show her missing her child because she deserved to feel that feeling the way Adelaide's mother felt when she couldn't find her for a little while. And it doesn't matter how long you've missed somebody, whether it's your child, a pet, a loved one, you're together at a party and you can't find, it's a panic.
Even you're right. No matter how long it is, even if it's just for a couple of seconds, I will panic. My heart leaps out of my chest. Gerald, my dog that I just let outside right now, she is one of those dogs that does not reply to when you call her name. And it really pisses me off because she's this beautiful, just super dark black dog. And she only has one eye. So when she closes that one eye, or even if she has it open, she's like, she's just like camouflaged in wherever she's at. And she will fucking answer. Like, if she won't come to you, she won't bark, she won't do anything. If you, I could be running around the house screaming, Gerald, June. Of course, the reason I'm going crazy screaming her name is because she's also an escape artist. She loves to figure out ways to get out of the fucking yard. So I'm like, did I put her, is she outside? Did she escape the yard? And then I start going just that shit all over my house looking for her, screaming her name. And the whole time she's just sitting there on the sofa just staring at me like, oh. So yeah, I know. Even with my fucking dog, my heart leaps out of my chest every time I lose her. So.
But you don't deserve that. And fake Adelaide deserves it. And she's more protective of the son, who is the youngest, uh-huh. which also is annoying because it's like the daughter. You know that whole thing where like you cherish the son a little bit more than the
really? You think that's daughter? That's interesting.
Yes, I do think so.
Huh.
Because she's like, where's your brother to her and everything? And when it comes to okay, so they go back and this is when our tethered show up in the house and she tells the daughter Zora to run, who by the way, Zora is excellent also in this movie. The kids, I think, do a great job.
They do.
Of being scared, what's going on, mm-hmm. just everything. And she tells the daughter to run. She's telling the daughter to go fend for herself. To me,
that's the, I didn't the see it that way. I do not see it that way.
Tell the son to hide so that she could find him and protect him. That was her person she went to go look for. I mean, honestly, so if someone's independent, I would tell you. I would tell you, like, let's run. But this is a child, and she was telling them separate things. She didn't say go with your brother and hide or take care. No, she told her run. Like, you take off. You. She knows she's a fast runner.
That's
but
why.
But she also knows
that's
that she's
why
more
she told
independent.
Her. Exactly.
Because she has left her to be more independent.
See, I don't see it like that. She told the kids to do what their strengths are. The little boy's strength is being is
the being little brother in, being
is being invisible and hiding. So that's why she had him hide. And then the girl, like you said, she told her to run because she's in track. She's a hell of a runner. She knows that girl can fend for herself. You're right.
But also because she raised her to be more independent.
It's because she's older, mm-hmm. though. Not because, just because. See, I see it differently.
Nah, I think she was doing the protective little
boy thing.
I think
he has some mommy-daughter issues.
Yes. Because that's what the moms do, a lot of them. But anyway,
no, so I love that. I love it.
I've been dying to look. Can we pick on Gabe now for a little bit? Just let's pick on him because he was so annoying.
Okay, let's do it.
He was
let's
so annoying when the tethered show up and he's like, "I'm going to go outside and tell them." I don't care if it's the postman and whoever is standing in the driveway and is just not moving, staring at your property. That's not a situation in which I say, I'm going to go out there and engage
right.
with this person.
I don't care if it's a family. I don't fucking care if it's a family. That whole family came up to my house to do with one thing in mind. And I will always, I don't trust old ladies, old men, little kids, little doggies, you know, grown ass people.
The strangers.
Nobody.
It gave big time scary vibes. He decides to go outside, and when he gets the bat and he tries to like get the nerve to go out there and yell at them with the bat, it's kind of hilarious. But all the decisions he makes are so bad. I mean, and then he hurts his leg. And remember I told you this trope in horror movies, it bugs me. Why does the man get incapacitated by some injury that looks like a leg injury or shoulder? And then the whole rest of the movie, they're limping and being dragged around by everybody. He is just making stupid decisions.
It's that Disney dad thing that they say, the Disney dad, where it's like they're idiots. That's the trope. Yeah.
The comical. Yes, they write them kind of comically. But it is good when he does finally take care of the guy in the boat, because it's like, oh, here's his boat, his little boat that he wanted. Uh-huh. And as they start to take care of the tethered that are chasing them, they don't realize that this is going on everywhere until they go to the friend's house,
right.
Who lives nearby. And then they get in there, and I love the struggle the whole family goes to, because it reminded me of the Slumber Party Massacre when the chick breaks open the pizza box and puts it on top of the dead body to eat. Because after they have cleared out and killed everybody, they're just sitting at the table with Kitty's body there and the dad. I don't remember his name.
Oh my God. Now I want pizza. Thanks a lot. But go on.
they're just chilling there. They're just chilling in their house completely like, okay, we've done something great. Yeah. And then they're like, I guess this is happening everywhere. Yeah. And
well, it makes sense though. It made sense that they stayed there because it looks like the tethered are going after their upstairs regular world counterparts. So odds are no one's going to come to that house because they just got rid of those tethered. So it makes sense. But I totally get what you're saying because I love that part in Slumber Party Massacre when she fucking gets that pizza, puts it on that dead pizza guy and starts eating. What does she say? Like, when I get scared, I get hungry when I get scared or whatever the fuck she said. It's just like, oh, that's great. So here's the thing. You were talking about, and it is a trope, you know, but I like it in this movie mainly because it's showing how the real Adelaide, fake Adelaide, whatever you want to call her, she's a planner. She's a fucking planner, and we needed to see her in action. So while her husband's going around bumbling shit up, she is in her head already devising plans. She's like, okay, you daughter are going to run. You are going to hide. You are going to, you know, I know that you like to do this. So you and your counterpart are going to, you know, be distracted with this fire thing. So she knows she's got these things. She's scared. But if you also remember, even though she told the little boy to hide, she had to trust. She trusted that little boy to go with his counterpart, his tethered, which is dangerous as well. So I don't know. I see it differently.
Right. I think because she knew she could get to him faster because she knew him better. And the everything, you're right, because she is the heroine of the movie up to a certain point. Because everything she's doing is she's being strategic. She's being smart. She's trying to keep her family safe and everything. But she doesn't give us a reason to doubt her in any way, because we see her as that loving mother, the head of the household, strong, you know, and everything. She's doing everything good and great that we know of so far until we see that the fact that they're still chasing her. They're still chasing the family. They picked off the Zora's counterpart, Umbre, and then they're like, they're going to have to keep going until they get rid of all the tethered. So is she going to the thing is, we think that she's going to have to face the situation that happened to her as a child, but we don't know exactly what happened. This is a greater fear. It's like, why is this happening? And I had no clue that she had any idea why this is happening. We didn't have any tip off thinking.
I like,
you know,
that.
All we know is that she, yeah, it was great. It was great because until we see that flashback of her switching and then changing the shirt. Uh-huh. And even then that shows though that fake Adelaide is the mover and the shaker. Yeah. She is the idea woman.
Yeah.
Because she was like, this is her opportunity. Uh-huh. She did this wonderful thing and got free, but left. I don't give a shit about that.
Yeah.
She took her place and then she started to do everything that her new family wanted her to do because she wasn't talking and it was breaking up the family.
Yeah.
She wanted a better life for herself. So she did that. Yeah. Oh, maybe dance would be the thing that's good therapy. Uh-huh. And she does it because she's trying to do to have that better life. And everything that she does is a way for her to stay with this mother who's taking care of her, who loves her, who isn't mimicking somebody else's life, who's doing everything good and loves her enough to take her to therapy. You know what I mean? I mean, look at the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm. I read that both Adelaide and Red, are planners and schemers. Because they are. They're both schemers. They're both planners and schemers. Because one is planning and scheming to get away with this thing that they did. And the other one's planning and scheming to break out of where she's been forced to be now. And I love that for them. I love that they're, and that's why you do get to see those aspects of their personality. While they are different women, they're still very much the same. It just depends on where they fucking ended up growing up. What was their reality, whatever their reality was. And I love that for these women. I also wanted to mention real quick, the reason I had mentioned, and I completely forgot about it, I got distracted because, of course, I always do. We have a friend who had the touch-ups, you know, like that you can't see. Her tethered self had the visible scars, and it horrified me to think of how it was happening to her down in the underworld. I call it the underworld, whatever. I don't know. Because if one was undergoing plastic surgery, that means the other one was too.
Okay, Dalia, yeah. Good thing you brought that up because the first person that they show in the movie who kills their tethered self is a man on the beach, a homeless man. He's holding a sign. They show his tethered self, and that man has carved into his chest what the other man had on a sign. So if you think about it, that woman was carving herself up with whatever she found. And remember that when Red shows up, the instrument that she has is, I always hate this in movies. It's like, just use a knife. Just stab me, please. Do not use scissors. Do not use sharp objects that are not knives. You know what I mean? It's like they're using whatever. And she has those scissors and that makes it worse because this is the tool that she's decided that she's going to murder you with.
And those scissors, I'm sorry, but yes, scary as fuck. But the scissors are also beautiful. I love those scissors. I want them because they make that swish, mm-hmm. swish sound that's so crisp and so sharp. It's just like, I want those scissors. But yeah, it's definitely very, very creepy.
Do you think she was going to keep fake Adelaide alive for a long time? Now we know, okay, she steals the son because I think she wants to pay her back for, you know, stealing her. But she handcuffs her to the table. She wants her to hear her out. She's having discussion with her. Do you think that she is trying to drag out and torture her by taking away everything that she has? Or is she just wants to kill them all?
She eventually wants to kill her. I think she does. She has no, I feel like she doesn't give a shit about her other self. But I do think there's like you said, the torture. So I think both. I think she wants to draw it out. I think she wants to torture her. I think she was okay if the kids got killed off quickly. I think she was okay if hubby got killed off quickly. But she wanted to make sure that she saw it and saw everything that was going on wrong because it was her fault. It was her fault. She did this. So you thought you were going to get out of that world down there. And you came up and you took my life. Now I'm taking all that brand new life you started and I'm destroying this world up here. So you're not going to have anything nice at all, period. That verse, that Bible verse, I already forgot which one it is. It's something 11:11. It's basically, if you want to find it and so that we can read it exactly, but it's basically saying that I'm not going to have any remorse or anything for you. You know, you done wrong. I'm going to punish you. And that's all there is to it. So yeah, I don't think she was going to give her any chances.
It's Jeremiah 11:11. Uh-huh. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them.
Yeah. So, that's why she wasn't going to. Yeah. She did want her to live a while, though. I do think a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Because she had to see her do her plan, which when you think about it is very, it's a huge plan, but when you think about what they're doing with the hands across the world thing, it's simple because those are the only memories she has. Like her doing that is like, it's kind of sad because she didn't ever get to learn more of the world. That's kind of the age she's stuck at with knowledge, with experience. And then everything after that, if you're just mimicking other things and other beings, you're not really learning anything new, you know? And so that whole plan is what makes it even sadder seeing everybody doing the hands across the
world. It is really sad. Yeah.
And taking the son, I do appreciate that for her because she could have just killed the son. I think she wanted to take her so she has that feeling again of being lost.
Yeah.
Remember what you did to me?
Yeah.
and hiding the son because she could have just killed him, and she didn't.
No.
And so that's why I think she was even less evil. Mm-hmm. And then when she's when they have the big showdown at the hoedown in the underground, and she goes down there, she finds it no problem mm-hmm. because she's been down there and she escaped from down there, and goes and finds, and they have like the face off.
Yeah,
that's when you see. I felt so bad for fake Addie mm-hmm. because she's a product of what she made her. You know, she made her this. And when it came down to it, it was awesome that fake Addie's like, and I'm keeping it. So she kills her. And it's like, oh man, that was so cool. I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah.
For purpose, you see what I mean? I'm like, I hate her, but also I'm glad.
Yeah. that she did it
because you know what? Yes, if you're going to do something, you give it 100%. Okay? I'm like, she can decide that this is her life. She wasn't going to let anybody take that from her, even herself. Boom.
Yeah, yeah. So this movie, interestingly, only had a budget of $20 million. And it's funny to say only $20 million. But when you think of this, like movies like this, budget for, I mean, they can get up there. And then to see that it was tenfold plus, you know, did better than or made a profit off of that $20 million. That's just, oh my god, I can't even. But when you look at it, I love that they were able to do that. They didn't do anything. I was watching a movie the other day. I can't remember what it was. Oh, I remember. It was a movie on Tubi, and it was a remake of Terror Train. And I was really surprised. Terror Train. Did I say that right? I was really surprised.
I haven't seen the remake.
Yeah, I actually liked it. It was a corny and all that, but you know, I usually don't mind corny. What I liked about it specifically is that it was a Tubi, if I remember correctly, it is a Tubi original.
Oh, yes.
I don't know what the budget is for that one, but they did a really good job of making that movie not look ridiculous with like fake CGI and all that. With whatever budget they had, because Tubi's big, but it's not like, you know, Hulu or Netflix. So it's going to have a different budget. They didn't use ridiculous CGI or ridiculous practical effects. So with this movie, Us, with this $20 million budget, they did the same thing. Very smart choices with not ridiculous CGI or practical effects. They left a lot to our imagination, even though they did show some things. They left a lot to our imagination. I thought whenever they showed the tethered downstairs or down underground, that enough was, like I told you already, could be an entire movie that would scare the shit out of me. And the tension, you mentioned that in the beginning when we first started talking, the tension and the anxiety buildup, everything they did, it was all about the story. And I really enjoyed that. And I wasn't sure when I first watched this movie, what I was going to think, because I like Jordan Peele a lot, but sometimes I'm always afraid of liking someone and then them not putting out a good product. So I was really, I do that because I fucking love Sandra Bullock, and she's made them stinkers. But I still love her. So I'm like, that's why I got a little scared. I'm like, oh God, please let this be a good movie. Please let this be a good movie. And it was. And I was so happy about it.
Yeah, I just, that's probably why I waited a little while before I saw Get Out. But I still didn't have it ruined. Like, that's what I mean. I just wait because you're just kind of wondering, is this going to be good or not? And the style of the movie is unsettling. And every time I think about it, I think of the underground world. But see, that comes with budget too, keeping it simple. There's a lot of good acting in it. The people underground and the way that they're mimicking, miming the things is disturbing, and it's done well. When people are getting killed, like I mentioned, like they're not really showing them eating the rabbits. They're not really showing when the people got killed. Some of them, they were already dead. But all of those are really smart choices with budget too, because we don't always need to see something to get that, you know, to be just completely like terrified or whatever. Sometimes it's like the less is more. Like when they show the monster in the way beginning of the movie, and now you know what the monster looks like the whole fucking movie. It's like, just hold on to it a little bit longer.
I feel the same way. Less is more always, or if you just, or just don't show it at all. That's what I'm always going to say. So, okay. So this movie, I believe I rented it on Prime Video, I want to say. How about you?
I think I wrote it in the thingy okay. where I found it. Where is it? Oh, I rented it.
Yes.
I rented it. Okay.
But yeah, so if I'm sure you've seen it, but if you haven't, and remember, we already said in the beginning, we were giving you spoilers. So just deal with that. Sorry. If you haven't seen it and you still want to see it, go check it out. If you haven't seen it in a bit, I've watched this movie a few times already. And I'm telling you right now, it doesn't get old. It doesn't. Because I try to look for those little clues, like kind of like I can watch the others a million times. And each time I'll find something new. So same thing with this one. I think I'm finding or seeing something different in each one or noticing or being able to pick up on little details and ignore something else that's going on the screen because I know what's going on this part of the screen. But let me go and look in the background and see what's going on there. I truly appreciate that.
I'll bring up in the beginning of the movie, there is a VCR tape from Chud, CHUD from 84, cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers. And it's about a bizarre series of sudden disappearances on the streets of New York City and seems to point towards something unsavory living in the sewers, foreshadowing the origin of the antagonists of the film, the tethered who also live underground. Yeah. And I'm like those little touches.
Yes.
I said the wrong movie. I said The Strangers. I meant what is that movie? I always say the wrong movie. Okay, when they're sitting on the couch and the intruders are looking at them, the strangers who come in.
I have no idea.
Funny Games.
Funny Games. They're not sitting on the couch and someone's looking at them from the outside.
Well, I guess that's what I'm talking about. That scene, I was reminded me of that movie, but I said it was The Strangers
Me of. Well, Strangers also good because the tension is that even though they're making stupid decisions, it's that tension, the whole anxiety, the fact that people are the bad guys. Always Funny Games, same thing. People are the real monsters. All great movies. Watch all of those. But yes, definitely, if you haven't seen this movie, because this movie came out in 2019, so maybe you thought the first time you saw it, it was the last time you saw it, 2019. Watch it again, man. And then let us know what you think about this movie. And how can people let us know what they think, Alma, or just come at us with their own opinions about stuff?
Come at us. All right. you can go to our website, nightmaremoviepodcast.com. Our Instagram is at Nightmare Movie Podcast. Our Twitter is at Nightmare on Fifth. That's Nightmare on 5th. You can also read our shit over on horrormovieblog.com. And we also have a Twitter for them at How Horror Movie Blog.
That's okay. I'm like, I always make you say so much. I'm surprised you're able to get it all out. I am so sorry for that. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/nightmaremoviepodcast. You can also do a one-time donation over at buymeacoffee.com/nightmarepod, or you can also subscribe. We are making this available, our bonus episodes and everything available on Apple Podcast subscriptions and Spotify subscriptions. I really love that we have all these options out there if you want to take advantage, but you do not have to. You can just listen to us for free here, and we're truly, truly grateful. And God, this is a really good movie, and I think I'm going to go watch now. I feel like going and watching Nope. I just like, I'm going through the whole bunch of like,
I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
I love that. I love all of his movies.
Yeah. Oh, and the cartoon. What was the name of that cartoon? Movie?
What's going to happen?
What was the name of that cartoon? Oh, that was a great cartoon too. Oh,
the voice in Wendell and Wilde.
Oh gosh. You guys, if you haven't seen that one too. Oh, great. All right, okay, we're just gonna go off on tangents now. All right, everybody, until next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.